Have you been praying? And you still have no answers. Have you been pouring out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears?
My everything. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We're glad to be in the house of God this morning. Those that have joined us in-house and those that have joined on live feed, thank you so much for being with us. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. If you've got a prayer request, you've joined on live feed, you can text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. We do have several that's connected to the church that are sick. Have several that had six in the last 2 weeks that's had surgeries. So we want to be much in prayer for them. One this next week that's going to be having a surgery. So let's continue to be praying for each one of them. If you in-house and you've got a prayer request, let me know by lifting your hand. God knows each need. Let's bow our heads and let's go to God in prayer and ask God to minister today. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today again, thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this great opportunity that you've allowed us to come to worship and praise you. Father, I pray today that you'll move and minister in a mighty way in this Sunday school class today. I pray that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour out an anointing and a blessing that could only come from you. And Father, I pray that you'll touch and minister to each one of the students that we have in our classes today. I pray, Father, that you'll touch the teachers to bring forth your word as you had given it to them. Touch the students, God. Open up the word to them this day, in this very hour, and we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. This morning, our theme of the Sunday school lessons that we've been talking about over the last three or four lessons has been the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And today, as we continue along that theme leading up into Pentecost Sunday, this particular Sunday, we're going to be looking at the Spirit produces long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Last Sunday, this Sunday, and the next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the different the things that the Spirit produces in our lives. We need to understand it's not a one or the other. It's all of them. These are things that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives and manifests in our hearts and our lives. We're going to be looking at today, the truth that we're looking at is the Holy Spirit produces long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness in the believer. If you're a child of God, these are things that we must have in our lives. Guess what? None of them are easy. None of them are, I can just pick that up and run with it. No, these are difficult tasks to get in our lives, and so this is not something that you're just going to say, oh, I've got this. No, these are things that we have to work to achieve. We're going to focus on the fact that we are, as a believer, we're affirming the value of and to seek to have in our lives long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness by the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not something we can just say, oh, I can do on my own. Oh, I can have long-suffering on my own. Good luck with that. That's not something that we do. We must understand these are brought about by the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to emphasize when sinners turn to Christ, the Holy Spirit begins the transformation of their lives to bring them to Christ's likeness. This is not something that happens overnight. I've had people to tell me, and listen, I can bring a bunch of scriptures to back up what I'm fixing to say. So just understand what I'm saying is a biblical thing. You've got to understand, yes, when God saves someone, they can change instantaneously. We all believe that God changes instantly, right? We all believe that God can do that. However, we must also understand that some people, it takes time. It takes time. A lot of those factors are going to be how faithful are they are in reading and studying and digging into the Word of God, how faithful their prayer life is, how dedicated they are to change things. I've had people to tell me, for example, certain addictions. I've had people to say, I've smoked cigarettes for 30 years and I laid them down overnight and haven't picked one up again. That's wonderful. And I've had people to say, well, I've smoked cigarettes for 5 years and I can't quit it. I understand that. What we must realize and understand is it takes time. It can either be instantly or it can take time over a course of time. So the question comes in, well, why doesn't God do it instantly in my life? I don't have the answer. Why did God do it instantly in somebody else's life and not mine? I don't have the answer. God's the only one's got the answer. When the day you get to heaven, ask him and find out. What we've got to realize is we just, no matter what it is, we've got to be dedicated to God and continue to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Look at what it says. It says, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. That is hard, comma. Tenderhearted to one another. That's what this is meaning. That's hard. Forgiving one another. That's hard. As God in Christ forgave you. These things are hard things to do, and guess what? You cannot do it by yourself. You know, I tell people often, you know, I use the old adage of, or the analogy of, I know how to change the oil in my car. But Larry, I know how to change it. Do you think I change the oil in my car? No. What do? I go up and I pull up to the mechanic shop. I roll my window down and he says, what do you need today? I say, I need an oil change. I go to somebody that is knowledgeable on how to do this, knowledgeable on what to do, and I let them do that. Why? It's just easier for me to do that. Do you know what happens if Christians would go to God and let him help us in that? In those things, it would be easier. Do you see the difference, or do you see the comparison there? What we've got to realize is God is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper in all these things. The God of the Bible is unique in many ways when compared to mythical gods of other ancient people. If you look at the gods of the Egyptian, Mesopotamians, the Greek, the Roman, you look at those gods were believed to be very powerful, but they was also characterized as unreliable, selfish, petty, and generally unconcerned about human beings. The God of the Bible is powerful. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. However, our God is strikingly different from these gods. We cannot do a comparison in all things. Why? Because the God we serve is reliable. He is faithful. He is loving. He is kind, and he is forgiving. The Bible states more than 20 times that God is good, and it declares more than 90 times that God is merciful. God's response to when Moses said, when he pleaded with God, Moses said, please show me your glory. That's in Exodus chapter 33. God's response was not a display of power and majestic, not lightning and strobes of lights and thunders. Instead, God answered by saying, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. The glory of God is displayed not only through his power, but also through the goodness and the mercy shown of God. We must realize that God's good, God's merciful, God is gracious. Many times people look at the power of who God is, and some today have forgotten the judgment and the truth of God. So we must understand that, yes, God is good, God is merciful, God is gracious, but God still is also powerful, and God is still a God of judgment. The nature of God as both powerful and gracious, good and mercy, it does have implications for the Holy Spirit's work through the gifts and the fruit that are manifested in our lives. On one hand, Pentecostals, you and I, have recognized the importance of the spiritual gifts as manifestations of God's power. These gifts empower the believer to speak, teach, witness, heal, deliver, prophesy, pray, and minister in many other ways than others may have. On the other hand, non-Pentecostals have emphasized the fruit rather than the gifts. However, what we must understand is it's the fruit and the gifts. They both demonstrate the character and the power of who God is. The Spirit wants us to have both the gifts and the fruits. You cannot just say, oh, I just want one gift. No, it's the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. So this week, we're going to be looking at long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. We must realize and understand all of these fruits of the Spirit are very important in our lives. I urge you, get the Sunday school book. I urge you, go back, follow along with the lesson. Go back to the Sunday school book. Go back to the podcast where we have been teaching this last Sunday, this Sunday, and then next Sunday. Go back and reread the Sunday school lessons. Rewatch the Sunday school lessons. Dig into this, because these are all things that should be relevant in our lives. So taking a look at long-suffering through the Spirit. Long-suffering through the Spirit. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and James chapter 5 and verse 11. So we want to look at, first of all, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Let's read those. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, last Sunday, love, joy, peace. This Sunday, we're going to be looking at patience, or also translated, long-suffering, gentleness, or kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Patience, kindness, and goodness. Those are the three same things. These words are interchangeable. They are talking about the same thing. Now, this is a great time to bring in an English lesson. Yeah, okay. We all know that I ain't never been no good at English, but I need you to understand something on this part. I know I probably got several snarls, a couple of growls from some English teachers, and yeah, I probably got really in trouble. But I did that to really get your attention on this. English is the worst language on planet Earth to translate into and out of. English is horrible on translation, okay? I learned that when I took 2.5 years of a 2-year course in Spanish in high school. I've learned that when looking at Hebrew, Greek, and Latin out of the Word of God, Aramaic out of the Word of God. These are the languages that the Bible was written in the beginning, was Greek, Hebrew, and some was in Aramaic. Some of that was translated into Latin, and some of it was translated into other languages, and then it's been translated to the King's English, and then now to where we have today, into our English, and some have translated down into our Southern English. That's fun. But that's the DAL version. What we must realize and understand, I know that there are many, multiple translations of the Bible. The King James Version, King James 1966, I think, is the latest on the King James, I think. Don't quote me on the date. Then we also have NIV, ESV, NKJV, all of these other translations. I've heard some people say, oh, these are devil versions and things like that. I'd love to give you a chart and a diagram of which one is closer to the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. I'd love to show you that. I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. These are great things. We need to utilize these tools. The King James Version of this verse, you have ESV on the screen, both here on live stream and right here in-house. The King James Version of this verse says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It's also kindness, patience, kindness, and goodness is what we're looking at. These are interchangeable. When you go back and you translate it back and come forward, these are the changeable, interchangeable words. This is not a devil's translation. The devil didn't do it. Now, we must understand. I also know that there are those that do translations and they have an agenda. I got that. I'm understanding on that. Just because a version is translated and it looks different does not mean anything. Just dig into it and figure that out, okay? So, I understand the thought process, but just realize that there are other translations, English translations. Let's go on into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I'm sure all of what I just said went in one ear and out the other in some folks, and it went in one ear, and some people got mad at me, and I get that, but I promise you, I've got a bunch of research to back it up, so I wouldn't tell you something if I didn't know it to be the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, look at what it says. Paul says this, I therefore, being a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner faithful of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Last week, we studied love, joy, and peace. These three qualities that sound very spiritual and which relate to the inner attitudes of the heart. These three qualities that we looked at last week, love, joy, and peace. These qualities, they sound very spiritual and they relate to the inner attitude of the heart. Today, we're looking at something that's still spiritual, but is more directly related to our interactions with one another. We have, last week, these are related to the heart, love, joy, peace. This week, we're looking at our interactions with one another. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Look at what it says. These three, we got love, joy, peace. Patience. How many will tell me that it takes patience to have interactions with other people? Absolutely. You heard the old adage, I'm not wanting to people today? Mm-hmm. You get that. Patience is a huge thing. Kindness and goodness, long-suffering, is a big aspect of what we're looking at. Long-suffering, patience. The word long-suffering is translated, and the definition of long-suffering, patience, the word long-suffering means patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. Patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. That came from the Webster's Dictionary. So this is a Webster's Dictionary translation of the word long-suffering. The Holy Spirit enables us to endure troubles and remain calm when we are persecuted or mistreated. Every one of us in here, in-house, live feet alike, every one of us could state, I have gone through persecution and I have gone through mistreatment in the church world. Don't think about outside the church world. I'm talking about in the church world. Every one of us could say that. Guess, including me. Including me. But guess what? No one was persecuted and no one was mistreated more than Jesus Christ. And He still shows love, joy, and peace in His heart, and He uses patience, kindness, and goodness in His interaction towards others around. Long-suffering is essentially the quality of being patient when we are injured or provoked by others. Did you know that people know the buttons to push on you? They do. People have learned what buttons they can push on me. And let me tell you something. People knows and they push those buttons. They push those in front of others. They push those over the telephone. They push them on text messages. People push those buttons for me. And they enjoy, some of them I think enjoy doing it. I think they do. I think they do. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think that some people really enjoy pushing certain buttons. But what we must realize and must understand is even when people push buttons, we don't need to react. We need to be very patient or long-suffering with those. Now, before I go any further, we are not a doormat. Amen? We're not a doormat. Just because we're patient and long-suffering with people does not mean that we have to be a doormat. God Himself is our model for patience or long-suffering. As stated in this lesson this morning, long-suffering is an attribute of God. When the Lord Himself revealed His nature to Moses on Mount Sinai, He passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Therefore, the long-suffering God enables us to be long-suffering towards people. Those passages of Scripture are Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. I have quoted those verses, those four verses that I just gave you the references to in the things that I stated. What did I state? The Lord revealed His nature to Moses on Mount Sinai, and God passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Therefore, the long-suffering God enables us to be long-suffering towards people. Now, in the Word of God, we find that we, you and I, are called and have a calling on our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 tells us this. This repetition means that our walk, which is our conduct, how we carry ourselves, how we interact with others around us, how our motivations and how we act towards others, all of those things should measure up to a standard that is required to fulfill our calling in God. Look, we've all been called of God. Amen? We're all called to do a work for God. What is our calling? Every one of us is called to be a witness for God. We are to be a witness of God to those around us. We are to witness to those in the grocery store, those at the restaurant, our next door neighbors, our family. We are to be a witness to those around us. If we was to stop, you'll hear this later in the Sunday morning message maybe. If we was to stop and ask everybody that has started coming to church in the last 2 years, if we was to stop and ask everybody that has come into the church, to this church in the last 2 years, name the reason, name how you found out about this church. Name how you come to stumble on, what is the reason that you found out about this church. Do you know? Most of the ones, I know everybody that has been coming to this church in the last 2 years. I know how they found out about this church in the last 2 years. Do you know that the main reason people have started coming to Coosa Valley in the last 2 years was due to live feed and or they have interacted with me in some way, shape, form, or fashion? They found us on Google. They found us on our live stream. They found us in it. They had an interaction personally with me or my family. We all have an obligation to reach out to those connected in our community and those around us. We need to be a witness, and in that, we need to be inviting somebody into the house of God. We need to be going to the highways and the byways and bid people to come in. That is our calling. That's what we've been called to do. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 1 through 4. I've already read this, but look at verse 1. I urge you to walk. The word walk here is our conduct, how we act, how we interact with those outside these four walls. What is our conduct? That conduct should measure up with the standard in our calling in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. The way you walk, the way you carry yourself, your attitude, your actions, your conduct needs to measure up. How does it measure up? It measures up by allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives. Meekness. This is another lovely word that nobody likes. The word meekness is the quality, this is defined as the quality of gentleness, of gentle friendliness, gentleness, and meekness as the strength accommodates one another's and the consideration. Lowliness and meekness are elements of long-suffering or of patience. This word patience, this word long-suffering, this includes meekness and lowliness. Lowliness, meekness, they are defined as restraint towards others and does not seek retaliation against offenses. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I'm not telling anybody this to pat me on the back, and I don't want anybody to congratulate me, oh, you're such a spiritual person, because I can promise you, it is very hard for me to do what I'm fixing to tell you I do. It's very hard, Sister Nellie, to do what I'm fixing to say. You know why? Because last time I checked, I'm a human being just like anybody else, right? If you don't believe me, let Sister Nellie pinch me and see if I don't scream. You're not going to pinch me, are you? You ain't going to pinch me, are you? No. What we must realize and understand is we're all humans. But I'm going to tell you what I do to people that bring offense against me, that try to stab me in the back, that try to do things against me. I'm not out to seek retaliation. And I'm not telling you that, say I'm super spiritual, because it's hard for me to get to this point. Amen? It's hard. But what I do is I pray often. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. I prayed this morning, this exact thing. And I name folks. Look, when I talk to God, I name people. When I pray and I talk to God, I have walked around these pews, and I'll get to where you sit at, and I will, God touch Sister Nellie Shirley. Help her not to crow on the rooftop. No, I don't do that. But I walk around, and I'm telling you, I call your name out. Okay, God knows us by name, and I call your name. So I actually physically, this morning I actually did this. I was praying, and I was seeking God, and I told God, I wasn't trying to do it because of this lesson. This is just something that I do. I pray, I said, God, you see this person, and I name them. You see what they've done. Now, God, I'm asking you, bring conviction in their, Brother Andy, that's retaliation. No, because I don't want that person to die and go to hell because of what they've done. Hello? I don't. God, bring conviction into their heart and their life. Get them to where they need to be with you. But God, I'm praying that you'll touch their heart, touch their life, change them to be what they're supposed to be. We cannot, long-suffering shows us, we cannot walk in retaliation against those that brings offense to us. Long-suffering that we're talking about, patience that we're talking about, is essentially forbearing one another in love. To forbear means, and I think that's verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4, forbearing one another in love. To forbear means to put up with something that's disagreeable, annoying, or difficult. forbearing one another in love, that means to put up with something that's disagreeable, annoying, or difficult. This generous and unselfish behavior has got to be motivated by love, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. And the desire for the unity in the body of Christ. If Brother Chuck has offended me, Brother Chuck hadn't offended me. Okay? Me and Brother Chuck are friends. We like each other. We've had breakfast with one another. We need to do that again. If Brother Chuck has offended me, he hasn't. If he's offended me, does that mean that I don't want to see him go to heaven because he's offended me? No. We're still a part of the same body of Christ, right? We still need to go to the same heaven, right? There's not going to be a heaven for me and a heaven for him. We're all in one heaven, and what we've got to realize and understand is what he said that offended me, let's just say he said something that offended me, he may not know that that offended me. He didn't say it in an offense, but it offended me. I took it as an offense. What we've got to realize and understand is there's times it's misunderstanding, miscommunication, and that's where that patience comes in, with patience bearing one another in love, because they probably did not do that on purpose. I've seen that so many times. What we must realize, everybody has a different personality. Everybody has a different way of looking at things. Everybody has different traits about themselves. Some people love, I'll use this as just a prime example. Some people love hugs and some people don't. Does that make sense? Okay? I'm using that. Everybody in here understands that. Some people love hugs and some people don't. Some people like the fist bump. And I'm going to tell you something. Much of that has changed drastically even since COVID. When COVID hit, there was people that would hug you all day long. Now they don't want a hug. They want a fist bump. Brother Larry wanted a fist bump with me the other day, and that offended me. Get over yourself. Just get over it. Those are some of the things with patience bearing one another in love. Fist bump and go on. Long-suffering is one of the most important fruits of the Spirit because it relates to our daily life, our life in the church. A church body, a church, this place that has been dedicated to the worship of God, this church should be a place of welcoming, healing, growth, deep and lasting relationships. When the fruit of the Spirit is absent, a church can be experienced as harsh, unaccepting, critical, envious, condemning, and cold. Church, we must understand and realize we, as the body of believers, we need to be a welcoming place, a healing place, a growing place, and a place of deep and lasting relationship. But if we come across as harsh, unaccepting, critical, envious, condemning, and cold, then we are not allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives. I am proud to say that many, many friends of mine have come through these doors and they have told me at lunch or called me later or after the fact, they've told me, Brother Andy, your church is a very welcoming place for guests. There is a place at Coosa Valley for deep and lasting relationship. We must understand that as a church, we must continuously have that in our lives. Amen? Let's go on to the second one. It's called gentleness through the Spirit. Gentleness through the Spirit. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 and 20 through 26, and Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 3, or Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, 23 through 26 is what we're going to read first. Remember, go back, get the Sunday school book. There are Sunday school books out on the table. Get one of those Sunday school books. Read it, these lessons for yourself. Go back and watch the live streams on our podcast so that you can grasp a hold of these things. Gentleness through the Spirit. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this. Nobody likes this verse. A soft answer turns away wrath. Do you know how you bring a soft answer? Something bad's going on, something bad's taking place. You know what you do? Stop. Breathe in through your nose. Hold it for 5 seconds. During that 5 seconds, I'm telling you right now, you pray and ask God to help you with your answer. Pray and ask God to help you with your attitude. Pray and ask God to help you with what's fixing to come out next. Why? The 5 seconds is over with. You can exhale through your mouth. I didn't want nobody to hold it and hold it forever, but some might need to hold it longer, but, you know, anyway. The rest of the verse says, a harsh word stirs up anger. There are things that you say, you are not meaning it to be a harsh word, but somebody will take it as a harsh word. Think about what you say before you say it. Is that biblical? That's biblical, is it not? We need to think about what we say before we say it. There are times that I have had a situation and I could have responded immediately. I had thoughts in my head right then. I can promise you I could have responded. And the responding party, I'm not trying to be ugly about what I'm fixing to say, but the responding party would have walked away crying. I could have responded harshly. I could have responded in anger. I could have responded in a quick word, and it would have hurt somebody's feelings. But there are times that we need to take a breath, take a beat on it, stop and think about it for a moment, and wait before we respond. There are things, some people say, nope, you don't need to wait. You'll let things drag out and it festers and it grows. I'm going to tell you something. You need to wait on some things. You don't need to wait a long time, but you need to wait on some things so that things will work out God's way and not our way. But there are times that we need to take a moment and wait on what we respond. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 through 26. Having nothing to do with foolish, ignorant conversations. Woo. King James Version translates that as saying, but foolish and unlearned questions. Having nothing to do with foolish and ignorant conversations. There are some foolish, unlearned, ignorant conversations that people want to have with you. Avoid them. Avoid them. Why? Because they breed quarrels. They breed arguments. They breed bad things. Okay, go on. 24. And the Lord's servant, guess what? You and I are God's servants. We must not be quarrelsome, arguesome, but kind to everybody. That's hard, folks. That's really hard. But kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Patiently enduring evil. Woo! These are hard verses, are they not? Look at verse 25. Correcting his opponents with hateful words. No. Bringing correction with gentleness. Now, God has not placed everybody to be in a point of correction. Okay? Everybody is not able I'm going to say this in the DAL version. Every person is not in the position to dole out, to pass out correction. Just because you think you're able to do that does not mean that you're able to do that. You're not, just because you think that I've got correction in my, I can dole that out. That's not what that means. There are those that are over you in the Lord. Okay? Does that make sense? The way the church body works is, you know, we've got Sunday school teachers and we've got church members and we've got the pastor. We've got a pastoral council, our leadership team. There are those that's over you in the Lord, and you need to be respectful to those that are over you in the Lord as they dole out or dish out correction, godly correction. Let me throw that in there. Godly correction. Brother Andy, I think you just said that you're the only one that can dish out correction in the church. I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. And I can promise you, there are people that can dish out correction towards me. I hold myself accountable to my pastor's counsel. Does that make sense? I hold myself accountable to our pastor's counsel, and I'm accountable to them. Let's go on. What verse are we on? 25? Let me get off of these verses, because, boy, I'm going to tell you, some people don't like correction, do they? Look at 20. Did I read 25? Yeah, go to 26. And they may come to their senses. Woo-hoo. Brother Larry, these are blunt verses, aren't they? And they may come to their senses and escape from the snares of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Gentleness is translated as kindness. Gentleness is translated as kindness. So kindness and gentleness, these are interchangeable words. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness, kindness, as an attitude of graciousness and mercy rather than severity. Gentleness, kindness, is a quality of God in which He gives to us generously. The gentleness and the kindness of God is revealed through the life of Jesus Christ, who treated people with acceptance, John chapter 8, verse 1, compassion, Matthew chapter 9 and 36, forgiveness, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. As children of God, we must put on kindness, gentleness. Paul said that the genuineness of our Christian character is shown and evidenced by our purity, by knowledge of long-suffering and kindness by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. So there is multiple verses that is telling us this is things that as Christians we must do. This is not something you can get away from. These are attributes we must have. You can catch more flies with honey rather than vinegar. This is an old adage that brings to mind Proverbs 15, verse 1. You can respond to people with harshness or gentleness, your choice. The wisdom of King Solomon in Proverbs 15 and verse 1 led him to the conclusion that a gentle answer is always the best choice. Paul agreed with that. Now, just because, please hear me when I say, just because gentleness is always the best answer does not mean that if somebody's done something wrong, that correction does not need to be applied. Is everybody with me on that? But there's a way of applying spiritual, scriptural correction with gentleness. Gentleness must always be applied, right? Just because gentleness is there does not mean correction does not need to be there. I'm saying that because too many times people have stated that church, scriptural, spiritual correction doesn't exist any longer. That is an incorrect statement. It is very much evident in our church world. It should be evident in our church world. Paul agreed with Solomon. Paul told younger ministers in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 23 to avoid disputes, avoid silly and foolish conversations that cause conflict. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you how many times that people have tried to drag me into foolish conversations and foolish arguments, foolish things, that foolish disputes that are going to cause conflict, and I walk away from them things. People say, oh, you're not being scriptural because you walk away. I want an answer. No, I'm being scriptural by walking away, I promise you. I'm not going to get in an argument over the Word of God, period. No stop. That's it. I'm not going to get in an argument over the Word of God. But there are people that want to argue over the Word of God. That's not scriptural, right? We must realize that. There are foolish and ignorant disputes that Christians sometimes quarrel about. We need to overcome that. We need to get away from those things. We need to realize that's not the direction we need to go. Let's go on to the third section here. I know that I'm skipping over some scriptures. I know that I'm skipping over some big portions of this Sunday school lesson. I'm telling you again, before I even go into this is the fourth time I've said this morning. I'm going to keep saying it. I urge you, get your Sunday school book. If you don't have one, they're on the table out in the foyer. The outline is on our website. I urge you to go back. I urge you to read the devotionals that's attached to every Sunday school lesson. I urge you to go back, watch the podcast again. There's podcasts, this video and audio podcast. We put both of those out there. Brother Andy, podcast is on only audio. Well, we're putting video and audio on our podcast so that you can go back and watch these Sunday school lessons. Everything can be found on our website. I urge you to do that because these are Sunday school lessons that are very much relevant to the way we live our lives. Third section is goodness through the Spirit. Goodness through the Spirit. Take a look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Ephesians chapter 4, 29 through 32. And then chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. So let's take a look. We're going to go into Luke chapter 10. Let's read 33 and 34. I know I'm not reading all these verses. I'm telling you, you need to go back and read these. You need to go back and look at these things. Luke 10, verse 33 and 34. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was, and he saw compassion. He saw him and had compassion. Excuse me. He saw him and had compassion. 34. He went to him. This is talking about the Good Samaritan that helped a stranger. He went to him, bound up his wounds, putting oil and wine on them. He set him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of this individual. Goodness is the quality of moral excellence and a willingness to share with others and a concern for the well-being of others. Church, I could tell you this church has a great deal of goodness in their hearts and their lives. If I look back over the last 9 years, one of these days I might do this. I might get the numbers together. It might shock you. If I look back over the last 9 years and looked at the resources that this body, this church, has put into the mission field, has put into benevolence programs, has helped people with groceries, with gas, and all of these things, it would shock you to know the resources that this body of believers has put towards those items. Last Sunday, I had a phone call, and it was told to me that there was a family connected to this church, that needed groceries. They had no groceries in their house. They needed groceries. So we automatically jumped into action. and we made sure that that was a need that was taken care of. Now, did anybody in this church prior to right now, did you know about that? Nope. Nobody knew about that. Do you know how we was able to? Because this body, every week, every month, you, as a body of believers, you put finances in that bucket. You give online. You put monies in the missions and benevolence programs. You put money in your tithes and offerings. Those needs are taken care of immediately. And I didn't have to, that was on, look, I got the phone call, or the text message about this need. And I had conversations and go back and forth and made the decision to make sure that this was a need that was taken care of. I did not have to come to this body, and I did not have to say, hey, I need $200 to help put groceries in these folks' houses. Didn't have to do that. Why? Because the resources was already there, because this church knows we need to take care of our church family, right? That's what we've done. That's what we've done time and time again. Okay, so let's look at that. Look at this in the aspect of youth camp. Every year, this church has sent kids to Alabama Church of God Youth Camp. And the families that have sent their kids, none of them had to worry about the finances of putting their kids to youth camp. Sure, some of them have placed monies into that to help pay for their child and to help pay for other children. But nobody has had to worry, well, I don't have the, I'm going to either buy my groceries or send my kid to youth camp. Nobody's had to do that. Why? Because this church has always done that. That is the goodness of this church. This church has always done like this Good Samaritan and has taken care of those in need. We've always done those things. The psalmist tells us repetitively, give thanks unto the Lord, for God is good. And God's goodness works through the lives of each and every person in this church. Is our goodness taken advantage of at times? Yes. Be blunt. Yes, it has been. The goodness of this church has been taken advantage of. There has been families that have come to us, and they have been a part of our church family, and they've come into a time of need, and we've helped them. No, I don't make decisions by myself. I don't unilaterally make decisions. I talk to different people on our pastors, our leadership team, and they help me make these decisions. We have been taken advantage of. This church has been taken advantage of. They'll come, they'll receive help, they'll receive benefits, and then next thing you know, they're gone. They're going to go somewhere. We're going to be taken advantage of. There ain't a thing we can do to stop that other than stop helping people. We can't do that, can we? We need to help folks in need. But I promise you, they will reap their reward for doing that. God will take care. I'm not being ugly. This ain't a retaliation statement. God's going to take care of that. We just have to know that we're going to do our best to take care, to show the goodness of God through our lives, right? We're going to show the goodness of God regardless of what somebody else is going to do. We need to be tender-hearted. We need to be tender-hearted to those in a time of need. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. We need to be tender-hearted in the aspect of let no corrupt talk come out of our mouths, but only such as good for building up. We could go to those that have taken advantage of this body and we could say, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. Nope. I don't guess we can do that, can we? But Larry, that just told me we couldn't do that, didn't it? We can't do that. Only something that is good to build one another up. We need to build each other up. Verse 30 tells us this. Grieve not. Did I put verse 30 in there? I think I did. I hope I did. Grieve not the Holy Spirit Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is grieved when we do those things. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, slander, let those things be put away along with malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving as God in Christ forgave you. Let me tell you something, though. Looking at that verse, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, we've talked about how that we need to help those in a time of need, right? We've talked about that. That is showing the goodness of God to those around, right? Okay. Now, we've talked about how that there's been some that's taken, and I'm using these as examples. Please understand that, okay? Some have taken advantage of that, okay? We've been taken advantage of, in 9 years, we've been taken advantage of on numerous number of occasions, okay? I get those things as an individual and as the body. We've been taken advantage of. We need to forgive that. But I promise you, the Bible doesn't say that we forget those things. If they've taken advantage, I'm telling you, that's a record's been kept. God's gonna recompense that. God's gonna take care of that on their end. But they've taken advantage. That doesn't mean in 2 years they can come back and say, all is forgiven. I need more help. That ain't the way that works. Does anybody disagree with me? Now, I get emergency situations. I got you on that. But we're very cautious about it the next time, right? Why? We can forgive. But I promise you, the things that you do, they are taken account of. And we need to watch out. If somebody got, okay, everybody's looking, you know, you're looking about as far as help is concerned. Look, you're standing behind this pulpit, and they come up here and they start spitting out junk that should not be spit out. Do you want me, to allow them to step behind this pulpit again? We've had an evangelist come into the church, and they start spitting out stuff that ain't biblical. Do y'all want me to allow them back behind this pulpit again? Absolutely not. We've got to be very cautious about it. We need to forgive, but we need to make sure that we're being cautious about the things that we're doing of God. Amen? To stand before the Holy One of eternity, that is a change that must happen in our life. Resentment cannot be held if we want to enter into the gracious light of God. We must make sure we're doing the work of God in and of our lives. Amen? Live feed, thank you so much for joining with us. If you have a prayer request and you've joined us on our live stream, I urge you to text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. You can also do the same thing, text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744, and that takes you to our prayer wall. Please join with us in praying for those needs. There's some urgent needs that's on that prayer wall. Help us to pray about those. Our church family, within the last 2 weeks, we've had 6 people that's had surgery. We've got one more coming up this next week. I'm asking you to help us continue to be praying for those. Live feed, join us back in 15 minutes for our Sunday morning worship. May God bless you. Amen.